God of all life. Lord, on this day we set aside to honor and remember mothers. We give you thanks for our mothers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them, and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in carrying us and giving us birth. Lord, today we pray for our mothers who cared for us when we were helpless, who comforted us when we were hurt, whose love and care we usually took for granted, as we often take your love for granted. Lord, we also want to make sure that we not only include birth mothers, but adopted mothers too, who took great care of us. And Lord, we also pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mother. Lord, give them special blessings today. We ask for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Ministry of Music today, Brianna DeMaa, Randy Fleer, with John Schmaltz.
Near and the time has has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy
Well, I'd like to start out today just by to let you know that today we're going to be talking about a tough and heartbreaking topic. A tough and heartbreaking topic. This has been a big week in the news, and it has everything to do with motherhood. I believe this is one of the greatest moral issues of our day, and if you don't already know what I'm talking about, we're talking about human life and being born. We heard this week that there's a strong possibility that at the federal level, abortion rights might be overturned with Roe versus Wade. Before I start out today, I want to talk about one very big, important thing with this issue and all issues that we face in life. We need to pause for a moment because we are all sinners and we all desperately need the grace, mercy, and love of Jesus. There are horrible things in all of our lives that we need to seek forgiveness for if we haven't done so already. And we recognize that for some people, it's the past choice of abortion. But we have incredible good news for all of us messed up folks, that when we ask Jesus for forgiveness, He will give it to us. We believe and we trust that Jesus died for us, that He took on the full wrath of God for sin on our behalf on the cross, so that we might not perish but have eternal life. So I just wanted to lay that good news out there, that we're all messed up and we all come to Jesus seeking forgiveness. And He will grant it to us. I was listening to a pastor this week, and this pastor, he has on his car a pro-life bumper sticker. And he talks about how very often he gets yelled at from people. He gets honked at. And sometimes he even gets followed. For some reason, well, we know it's because of sin and evil and because of Satan, that there is a sick, intense passion for people wanting the right to end the unborn's life. We've seen that all over the news lately. Well, he talked about one time there was a note left on his car. And the note went went like this. Hello, pro-life. It is wonderful that you were born into a world where a parent, number one, wanted and loved you. This is a sick idea. Whoever left this note, are they really saying that the only value that a human child has is if they're wanted by a parent? Otherwise, they're not of value at all? It doesn't make sense to me as a Christian. I saw a post this week from an acquaintance on Facebook. And this acquaintance kind of said the same thing, had the same picture. She was arguing for the right to abortion, and one of the examples that she used was this, that she had a friend who was pregnant by a guy that she now hates. And because she didn't want to raise a child that looked like him or was related to him, that it was right to end that life. So, number one, no value for this person unless the parent wants and loves the child. Number two, it's wonderful that you were born into a world where a parent could financially support you. Again, this is also a sick idea. Instead of advocating for feeding the hungry, this person was advocating for ending life. It would be better for them to die than to live a life hungry. Again, this is some wicked ideas. And then finally, number three, it is wonderful that you were born into a world where a parent didn't bring you into an abusive nor neglected environment where you would face a life of suffering, and get this, or even death. Wrap your mind around that logic. What do you think you're doing if you end the life of the child? How are you saving them from even death when you're murdering them? It doesn't make any sense. It's a sick idea. Let's get rid of the child before bad things could happen to them, because they could happen. Again, these are some sick arguments. And What made the whole thing even sicker for this pastor was that the note ends with a smiley face on the bottom of it. And to him, this was a sick, sick smiley face. Well, today we're going to ask the question. When you're asked why you think the life of an unborn baby is so important, what is so special about humans? Let's pray, and then we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 up to 31. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that as we look into your word and explore its truth, Lord, we ask for help, that we can understand today why human life is so important. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 up to 31. And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Well, that was a reading of the sixth day of creation. Are we talking about real days? Well, we know the creation was said to be made here in the Bible in seven real days. I've heard some different ideas about this. Maybe it wasn't really 7 days, but 1,000 years for the Lord is like a day. I've heard other ideas that this 7 days is just symbolic. I've heard others talk about this 7 days just as an ancient story that was retold by the Jewish people. But more and more, as I've grown in the faith, I believe and trust that God makes things plain in his word for us. Plain so that we can understand. I believe that 7 days of creation is 7 actual days. And this is confirmed for us by Moses. Moses, in the Ten Commandments, says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day." Well, on that sixth day, it starts out that the wild animals, the livestock, and the creatures that move along the ground were made, each according to their own kinds. What point can we draw out of this? Well, I think right off the bat, we can draw the conclusion that animals are separate from humans, or said another way, that humans are not animals. There's something that sets us apart. The animals were created, and then separately, humans are created. There is a difference. Well, what is that difference? Well, God says, after making all of the animals, he says, "Let us make." And maybe you paused when we got to this just for a second. Let us. Well, what What's being talked about here? What's being expressed? And we know that the fullness of what let us is. Who is the us? We know that the us is our one God in three persons. Are the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When it's when God's word is declared here in Genesis, let us, we're talking about the Holy Trinity. Well, what does the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what do they create? It says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Well, what is this that sets us apart from the animals? What does it mean that we are made in the image and likeness of God? Well, I want to set a few ground rules first. As I've been doing some exploring this week, diving into the deep theology on this in the library that I have in my office, and online too. I read a lot of different stuff on this because I wanted to bring this as clearly as possible to you to understand what it means for us to be made in the image and likeness of God. Number one, the image of God is universal in all humans. Number two, we did not lose the image of God in the fall when Adam and Eve sinned. Yes, we are corrupted, but we have not lost that image. Number three, not one person has more image of God than another. Number four, it's something that's in our very nature. It's who we are at our core. And number five, as we talked about just a little earlier, it's something that the animals do not have. So what is it? How can we think about it? How can we wrap our minds around what it means for us to be made in the image and likeness of God? We're almost there, but I want to draw one more distinction that I think helps clarify it for us. And it's this. The image of God in us has to do with our purposes for being here, for being part of creation, for being alive. Well, why are we here? Why did God create humanity and put his image and likeness in us? We are called to know God. We're called to know him. In that, one of our purposes is to love and obey God. So we're called to know him, to love and obey him. And when we know him and love and obey him, we will worship him. This is a chief end of man, to worship God. Exactly what we're doing here today. And in our knowing and loving and obeying and our worshiping, we glorify God. We give God all of the glory. And we have a relationship with him. This is what Adam and Eve had in the garden. Before they fell to sin, they knew God. They loved and obeyed God. They worshiped God. They glorified God. And they had relationship with God and walked with Him in the garden. We too are called to relationship with God. And we can have this relationship because Jesus, through His death on the cross, has drawn the gap that was separating us from God. He has brought that together by bearing our sins on the cross for our sake. And the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit down upon us so that we can have relationship with God, real relationship. And we have this relationship with God through His Word and through prayer. This wonderful, blessed connection. This is the purpose for humanity, to be with God. Maybe you've heard this whole idea come up before. There was one time when the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together and they tested Jesus. And they asked Him about the law of God. When it comes to the foundation of who we are, what does it mean to obey God? And this is what Jesus had to say. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." It is our purpose with all of our hearts to love God. There are some other purposes that we are called to as well. And Jesus also speaks to that in this passage from Matthew. He says, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." We're called to love God, and we're called to love others. And we do all of this while we have sovereignty that God has given us to rule over this earth, not in ungodly ways, but in godly ways, taking care of the livestock and the soil and the sea and the lakes and the rivers and the streams, subduing them all in wonderful, godly ways with our work. All right. I think we're finally here. What is it that makes us in God's image and likeness? Well, here's the clearest answer that I was able to put together this week. Think about the qualities of God. Think about the qualities of God that are reflected in us, that make our purposes possible. So think about the qualities of God that are reflected in us that make our purposes possible. Now, we have to pause here for a second and say, you know what, we are not gods, and we do not fulfill all of God's qualities perfectly. But we do have some of His qualities. We can think about some of these things that we mirror God. Intelligence. Goodness. justice, love, wisdom, truthfulness, kindness, awareness, morality. We have the ability to reason. And we've been given a lesser sovereignty to rule over the earth. These are qualities that God has that He's given to us. In that way, we are made in God's image and His likeness. Well, how do we experience our humanity best then? If we are made in the image and likeness of God, how do we experience it best? Well, we experience our humanity best when we are properly related to God in Christ. We experience our humanity the best and the most when we're related to God in Christ. So practically, how do we do that? Well, we know that at the center of it is faith in Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus, this is a massively important part of our image and likeness of Christ. And with Jesus as our Lord, we have the perfect example of what true humanity is called to look like. So, practically, just like Jesus has fellowship with the Father, we too are called to have fellowship with the Father. Just like Jesus obeyed the Father's will, we too are called to follow the Father's will. And just as Jesus came to serve, we too are called to serve. That pastor with the bumper sticker, there's some things about him that he would like the writer of that note to know. Not only did the writer of that note get some things very wrong about the value of human life, but they also got everything wrong about him. Everything. On that note, the writer said, It is wonderful that you were born into a world where a parent, number one, wanted and loved you. Well, guess what? That pastor was born to a mom and a dad that did not want him. Number two, could financially support you. This pastor, he was born poor. And his early childhood and through his teen years, he remembers being hungry all the time. And number three, a parent that didn't bring you into an abusive and neglected environment where you would face suffering or even death. Well, guess what? He was born into an abusive and neglected environment. This is partially my allergies, but the other side of it, too, is this is some tough stuff. When he was 12, a friend invited him to go to youth group. And he went because there was a promise of food, because he was hungry. He went and he ate, and he went back and he ate some more. And along the way, he ended up finding out about Jesus and giving his life to Christ. Knowing that even though he wasn't loved, even though he was hungry, and even though he was abused, he has a Father in heaven who loves him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your sovereignty over this world. And Lord, we pray that you continue to work in the hearts of many. Show them your will and your ways. Lord, we know that every human life is important and valuable because you have made us in your image. Lord, we pray for our country and world who have followed the devil down a sick and terrible path, where so many have sacrificed children for terrible, terrible reasons, because they didn't like the Father anymore, or because life was going to be a little harder, or they didn't want to go through the changes with their body, or whatever kind of excuses come up with. Lord, we pray that through your Son Jesus, that many, many hearts are changed. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.